The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5.
It's time for the Lunchtime Doctor, and the doctor is in studio today. Good afternoon, Doc.
Good afternoon, Bees, and good afternoon to all our listeners out there. Today we have a very special show. You know, we're still continuing with Men's Mental Health Awareness Month. So this entire month is really dedicated to men and, of course, boys. So today on the show, we're going to be joined by Mr. Richie Bansraj, who is a very passionate and purpose-driven advocate. He has a master's in sociology and he has over a decade in public service experience in Trinidad and Tobago. And he really is a leading voice for gender equity, youth empowerment, social justice. And he currently serves as the Caribbean ambassador for the International Day of Elimination of Violence Against Men, and also the ambassador for World Day of the Boy Child. And he was actually newly appointed the High Commissioner for International Men's Day as well. Okay. So he has a lot of experience.
He's ripping us men.
Yes, he's a big representative, and we actually had him on the show
last week.
Mm. So I thought he would be a perfect addition to the show today, and also to ensure that, you know, we get that message across for Men's Mental Health Month. So he will be joining us shortly, mm-hmm. but he is also going to be talking about International Day of the Boy Child. Mm. So, yes,
he will have an International Day for everything.
Yes, there's an International Day for most things now, yeah. You know. So it really is something that I think Trinidad and Tobago needs to get acquainted with, you know, Men's Mental Health, International Day of the Boy Child, because I do agree. We talk about us women a lot. International Women's Day is quite a large thing. So
yeah. International Women's Day, Mother's Day, every day.
It is quite a large thing. And we did have Father's Day recently. So it is important that we address on certain topics. So while we're waiting for him, we can get into a little bit of what International Day of the Boy Child.
So what is it actually all about?
So of course, when Richie comes in, he will expound a little more on it. But it really is something that is officially recognized in me. And I think that the message that it wants to relay remains very relevant well into June, which is Men's Mental Health Month. I mean, boys eventually become men, right? Mm-hmm. So it is important that we get that mental, emotional, and social environment. And here comes Richie.
Hi.
Hi, good day. Pull a mic there.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that one's good. Yeah. Right, okay, cool. Good. Hi, good afternoon, welcome.
Good afternoon, everybody. Good afternoon. The rain kind of, you know, keep me back. I get a little parking and everything, so I'm safe now, so I'm here now to discuss something that is very, very, very important to me and should be very important to the men and boys of Trinidad and Tobago as well. So it's called World Day of the Boy Child. So we can address it. Right, we can address World Day of the Boy Child, which is usually commemorated every year on the 16th of May, every single year. Now, our men and boys are important too, right? We tend to focus a lot on the women and girls and the issues that they face.
Yeah.
However, our boys are very, very vulnerable, because there's always here the terminology, boys don't talk, men don't talk. So now, let us dive into why it is that we're doing this World Day of the Boy Child, or some people call it International Day of the Boy Child as well.
Okay.
So I have some pointers here. So,
but what separates the day, sorry, not to cut you, from International Men's Day?
Right. Well, International Men's Day is for what?
The men.
The men.
Mm-hmm.
Right? World Day of the Boy Child is for?
No, the boys.
The boys.
Okay.
The boys. Because we need to highlight all of the issues that they face too.
Mm-hmm.
And also highlight the good that boys do in society too. Not just the issues, the good as well. So, right, let me touch on it. So, it was coined by Dr. Jerome T. Luxing, and it is commemorated on May the 16th every year. And this year we actually had an event for it as well too, where we did it at the Anglican Church. and we commemorated World Day of the Boy Child, and I'm the global ambassador. I didn't even introduce myself. I am Richie Bansraj. I am the global ambassador for World Day of the Boy Child. I'm also the Caribbean ambassador for the International Day for the Elimination of Violence Against Men and Boys. I'm also recently been appointed as the High Commissioner for International Men's Day. So all of these things, I work with Dr. Jerome T. Luxing, the guy who coined all of these things. And I could see he's very much of an advocate for the issues that are, to highlight the issues that are faced by men and boys in society. So some people might be asking, why did he choose this date as the 16th of May as the World Day of the Boy Child? It is because it is in between two important days, the International Day of Families, which is on the 15th of May, and then the Children's Day, which is on the June the 1st. So it highlights the boys' specific needs that they face and all the growing issues that they go through as well. And we need to focus on things like boys' mental health and well-being, and it has so much more that I will dig into as well, because I think we have like a whole hour, right? But we have till 1 o'clock. So I don't want to rush into every single thing, but Dr. Jerome T. Luxing has been doing this work for years now, And I have been working with him to bring the youth aspect behind it. Yes, he has been doing it as well, but I want to help him to bring that youth development aspect to the issues that are faced by our boys. Now, I want to come another day and talk about IDVAMB, which is the International Day for the Elimination of Violence Against Men and Boys. I want to come another day to talk about gender-based violence, and I want to come another day to probably talk about International Men's Day.
Yes.
Now, International Men's Day have its own kind of thing. Yeah? It flows on its own and everything too, but we still need to promote it, and we need to highlight that we have a Trinidadian guy, Dr. Jerome T. Luxing, who coined it and is pushing for it and everything like that. So we need to be able to do more for our men and boys in Trinidad and Tobago and Caribbean region on a whole.
Yeah, I agree. And of course, I think the timing of International Day of the Boy Child is also very close to Men's Mental Health Month. So in knowing this, why do you think it is still important to reflect on the message of the International Day of the Boy Child as we are in Men's Mental Health Month?
Right. Well, that's the first thing that I really wanted to talk about, and I kind of mentioned it already. It was that boys' mental health and well-being. Boys are human too, right? Men are human too, but boys are human too. So we are allowed to show our feelings, our emotions, and all these kind of things, and show vulnerability. But from a young age, boys are taught to do that. That is, you know, is a quote-unquote sissy, you know, you're showing female characteristics. If you show emotions, if you cry, and all these kind of things. But we want to highlight that showing vulnerability is not just is not a weakness.
Yeah.
It is a strength of both men and boys, and also women and girls. Everybody has emotions that they need to be able to reflect accurately with others, because what is the most important thing to us as humans? What is the most important thing? Are we doing it right now?
Talking,
communication. Communication is one of the most important things, and that is what we need to do, be able to express ourselves. Men don't express themselves, boys don't express themselves, and then when boys want the acceptance and all these kind of things, they go to gangs. They go to the quote-unquote community leaders, and they become accepted.
But is that because they feel they can't go to their parents, because the parents have not allowed them that, you know, that space to come to them?
That is if we see they even have parents. Some of them have biological parents, you know. They're living in the house with them, but they're working every single day. They don't have time to actually parent this child. So therefore, they look to other people for their leadership and their mentorship. So we have good mentors and we have bad mentors. The quote-unquote good mentors are... No, the quote-unquote bad mentors are the ones who call the community leaders. Community leaders. Then we have the good ones, who are the persons like me, yourself, Brit. All of us are still considered mentors because we are persons that the young persons look up to in a positive light.
And what do you think are some of the overlooked challenges? I mean, you mentioned mental, emotional, all of these different things that boys are now facing growing up, that sort of lays the foundation for adult mental health struggles?
So you're looking at the how it starts from at a young age, when young boys not really talking about their issues, right? They become, a lot of them face depression, you know. Mm-hmm. Depression and anxiety, ADHD, all of these labels. But in reality, they're just not talking. And it stems from not only the family, mm-hmm. not listening to the kids, but it also extends to, like, the schools. Mm-hmm. When they go to the schools, some teachers may not listen to them. They might say, oh, this child is, he's being too, he acting out too much. Mm-hmm. He's acting out too much. And he isn't doing his work and all kind of things. Because to be quite honest, they used to tell me that too, mm-hmm. when I was in school. Yeah, I was real hyper and thing. But in reality, I think like it was just the attention, you know. My yes. parents were working all the time. They're trying their best to make ends meet. But for me now, I wanted that attention by being a class clown, mm-hmm. in the school. And I ended up getting the attention that way. But in reality, I had issues that needed to be addressed, right? Mm-hmm. I don't think back then had, and this is in secondary school as well, they didn't have like guidance counselors and thing, at least like how they have it now. So my pathway was, I didn't have any mentors or anything to look up to. Mm-hmm. So what I did is just, I had a change at, let me say, this is my personal experience at Form 3, where I decided to say, hey, let me stop being a class clown and start to focus on my work and everything, because I'm not getting anywhere with being a class clown. So I decided that. But other people don't have that. Mm-hmm. Don't have that capability to say that.
Yeah, and I agree with everything you're saying. And I feel like boys are still often, like we touched on last week, they are discouraged from expressing any sort of vulnerability or sadness. And I mean, we often tell boys to toughen up or mm-hmm. be a man, and that sort of emotional suppression, it can cause them to internalize pain, and that is going to result in a lot of unresolved psychological distress.
Yes, so mm-hmm. I have these statistics, and I brought forward some of these statistics with Olya last time I was here. I think it was last weekend.
Yes.
So last time I talked about these statistics, and I want to reiterate the statistics again, because it also highlights the suicide rates mm-hmm. of the boys and shows how vulnerable boys are in society as well. So some of the suicide rates in Trinidad and Tobago, this is between a 10-year period, between 2011 to 2021, 82% of the suicides were male.
Yes.
I always talk about this. This is too high. This mm-hmm. is very, very high. And this is just in Trinidad and Tobago. Eh? Globally, it's about three boys and men are about 3 to 4 times higher to commit suicide mm-hmm. and die by suicide in the globe. But why is that? Why is that? Is that we not filling the gap in addressing the issues that are faced by our boys and also our men? But it also, we also realize that there's a lot of younger boys that are committing suicide, that mm-hmm. are dying by suicide. Mm-hmm. But why? Yes, we could do these studies, but we not, is it bullying? Is it the parents lacking attention? What is your real issue that it is? I don't know if you all could decide on some things or just make some suggestions, but I always asking that question,
right?
And mm-hmm. then it have another question that I want to ask too. Why are our boys and our men killing each other? Mm-hmm. They're always killing each other. Mm-hmm. Our men are killing our men, our boys are killing our boys, boys fighting boys in school more. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Why is this?
We are girls fighting,
yes.
girls,
we are girls fighting,
yes,
too.
Very recently.
But
mm-hmm.
you know what the trend really is. They will record the girls fighting more mm-hmm. and the boys fighting. There's them fighting. There's a normal thing. It becomes so normalized mm-hmm. that they don't really care that much to record the boys fighting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But when the girls fighting, yeah. Let me see.
That's a new phenomenon.
Let me see if she busts out her shirt. Mm-hmm. Let me see if she busts out her shirt. Let me see what she report the girl here. Mm-hmm. So it kind of more exciting because it's different to the people that recording. Mm-hmm. Now, that's a bad thing. Now, mm-hmm. I see that how in politics now they're saying how they're going to expel persons for engaging in fighting and all these kind of things. Mm-hmm. That's a good and a bad thing, mm-hmm. but there's a discussion for another day. Let's focus on the issue with boys now. The boys continuing to hype up the girls to mm-hmm. fight.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And even when I was working in psychiatry, mm-hmm. and we always say that women attempt suicide more than men, mm-hmm. But men follow through more than women.
Yeah.
Because they have more violent means.
Mm-hmm.
But the wards were filled with young boys who attempted suicide.
Mm-hmm.
I probably would have seen only about 3 to 4 women per month while I was working in the psychiatry unit. But it's usually young boys, as in teenage boys who were in their school uniforms,
yeah,
attempting suicide.
But what were some of the reasons, do you know?
Some of the reasons were really and truly, what I could remember, because it was quite a while ago, it's mostly family issues.
Yeah.
They don't have somebody to look out for them.
Okay.
I remember one of them, do you know they have those overhead things on the highway where you can walk?
Yeah, right.
He climbed over there,
mm-hmm,
and he was going to jump.
Hmm.
And somebody stopped him, and of course you are admitted to the ward just for evaluation, etc. But honestly, I would have seen more boys attempting suicide, even though the statistics say more women attempt.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
You say family issues.
Yes. Okay. A lot of them don't have a proper male figure,
mm-hmm,
in their,
okay,
life.
Right.
And they are now expected at a young age to be the man of the house.
So expectation,
yes,
right?
Mm.
The expectation leads to pressure. The gender rules that, mm-hmm, that impacted upon our boys in society to be stoic. And as always say, how they are expected to be nonchalant. There's a new thing with the kids these days. It have memes about it where they're saying type. Yeah, they just fold the hand. And if somebody says something, a long sentence, I'm talking about, yeah, type. And that is the whole emotion there. None. Mm. No emotion. And that is what they consider being a man in society. So the boys want to follow that.
Mm.
Even though if the boys do not have the emotional capacity to do that, they hide in it and they just fake it till they make it and be labeled as a man or a boy.
Yeah, but some people would say, I mean, I don't mean that some old school here, but I know that's how some people think. Some people would say a boy, well, back in the days, would be happy to be a man of the house. Would be happy to, you know, be the look up. I mean, even if you didn't have a father, you would be happy to be the one taking care of his mother or sister that would want to make you, you know, grow to be a man. Are our boys too soft now? Some people say we'll be grown up soft boys.
Yeah, that's some people will definitely say that all of the younger generation, they're crying too much,
yeah,
they're showing too much emotion. Soft,
mm-hmm,
right? But when you look at the older generation who's saying that, when them used to go through their issues, they never used to talk to anybody, but they used to go to the bar, drink all the sorrows, talk to the men in the bar, and let that, all of the discussions stay in that certain circle.
Mm. At least they used to talk to somebody.
Yeah, but some of them even talk about all of the issues, as you think. And then they go home and they beat the wife after they're drunk.
Mm.
So what I think is, I mean, boys having to take on that role as a man, as an adult, it kind of robs them of their own childhood as well.
Right. Well, I remember using the Michael Jackson thing of sometime last week, because Michael Jackson said, well, you know, was watching an interview and he said, well, he didn't get a chance to be a boy or a child, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that's when he grew up, he wanted Bubbles and Giraffe and this and Never Never Land and to live in this fairy tale, because he never got the chance to be a child.
And you'd find that sometimes not having that that experience of being a child makes you grow up to want to still be childish.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of them probably don't develop the emotional intelligence that is required to carry them throughout their life.
Mm-hmm. So in World Year of the Boy Child, we have 9 core principles that we want to highlight. And all of these things, you will start to see how vulnerable our boys are in society. So the first one is educate and empower, because some of the, well, I'll go into that with them a little after. Honor the talent of the children themselves, so their achievements and stuff like that. Rescue our boys. Now, when I dig into depth with that one, you can see what really it is about. End illiteracy, end discrimination, promote mental health, offer safety, champion equality and equity, and also build good values. So let us go on the first one. The first one is educating, empowering, and mentoring. So the boys need more than just academics. They need life skills, they need leadership skills, they need emotional intelligence, and also the boys need to have strong role models. It can be male, it can be women as well in terms of the role models, but that is one of the things when it comes to education. Education isn't just the academic part of things. It is also the technical, vocational, and different life skill part of things as well. So honoring boys who are talented achievers. Now, fellas are very competitive, so they like to see other fellas strive, like Keshawn Walcott. He pelled javelin, so everybody watching the man like, hey, I could do that too, and I sure I can pell that further than he. So that's how fellas are. So we need to reward the excellence in academics as well as arts, sports, and innovation. So that we could highlight all of the good that boys are doing as well in society. Rescue boys. Remember I was saying that one earlier. Rescue boys from war and poverty. Now, in the conflict zones, it have certain conflict zones like Central African Republic, South Sudan, Somalia, Myanmar. Where you see the pictures with them holding up guns. The boys holding up the guns. Mm. That is because those places, they just have them as boy soldiers. And also, in terms of labor, that happens with them as well. They choose the boys to be the laborers. They sex traffic the girls, but they choose the boys as the laborers and the warriors in those places as well. So we need to protect our boys and rescue our boys from poverty and war.
All right, let me just let people know they could feel free to call in at 625-2257, 627-3223. WhatsApp us at 3061065. Let's hear what you have to say about our boys out there, especially you parents of boys. You know, yeah. We have a lot of phrases like, man up and boys don't cry. Mm-hmm. You know, how does that impact boys with things that we actually say to them?
Yeah, and there's also called boys small man. Mm. It's called boys small man. Like, you hear them calling girls small girl? Mm. I don't really hear them calling girls small girl. You hear small man terminology more. Mm. And it's because they want to label you as such because they're already imposing the gender rules on you at a young age as a man. Mm. And as you were talking about earlier as well too, some boys are given the rules of a provider in the household at a young age already. So let me go on now to continuing with the other stuff. So eradicating, this is the other number four of the core principle of World Daddy Boy Child, eradicating illiteracy and underachievement. So boys are falling behind in terms of education. But why is this? So like in UE, why it is that, what's the most gender you see in UE?
Yeah, well, anything. I mean, in the tertiary education, you see women when it's come to CXC, SCA, is the girls who always tops on tops.
They're always topping, but why is that the case? Is that the education system is designed more to for the women and girls, or is it that how the boys just missing?
Boys are not interested in
something. Is it that boys are more hands on?
Well, I've been saying this for years. There are too many female teachers in our classrooms.
Is it that we have too many female teachers in the classroom? Yeah. All of those questions we need to ask, and we need to find a balance, because if it had male teachers, because I grew up with a lot of women teachers as well, but is there the lack of the male teachers? And yeah, they could also be mentors in ESPN, and I real love our teachers out there, because teaching is not just a job, teaching is a youth development professional. As I always say that, because you're raising young people, you're raising a young generation of people, and you have to be passionate about it. Of course, we know some teachers is actually get kind of, you know, numb from teaching, and you know they're going through all of these students and all these kind of things, but some of them are actually passionate and always want to do projects for the young people that are not academic alone. They do extracurricular activities, they have me come in the school, talk to them about different things, and it's just about development, holistic development.
Right. Somebody, let me just read a message here. Somebody said, I like the conversation. One of my sons is very emotional. He cries when his sisters take or mismanage his things. He expresses himself very passionate. He is very normal other than that and loves to hunt and fish. I don't know, maybe he has five sisters at home, why he is emotional. So a young boy like that growing up with five sisters, if he's the last one in the middle of the tree, but I said a woman and women around the house, how are you going to grow up?
You know, nothing wrong with crying. Is he saying nothing is wrong with crying as a man? You see, he's still doing the fishing, he's still doing the rules that are expected of a male in society, of a man, of a boy. Yeah. He's still doing those gender rules, but he is also incorporating the crying and showing his emotion as well. Because maybe as he's around the woman as well, they're showing him that showing emotion is important and is okay as well, and showing vulnerability is strength and not weakness. So we want to, let me go go on to the other core principle is number 5, addressing discrimination against boys. So in the schools, school bias, boys are often seen as like the troublemakers and stuff like that. A lot of schools that I've gone to, they put the girls in the front and the boys at the back, because the boys too high energy, they're harder to teach. Teachers tell me that how the boys too hard to teach, so they just put the girls in front and put the boys in the back. That's wrong. Mm-hmm. That's wrong. But I understand they get fed up over time because they probably won't train to even today.
And are those teachers are female teachers?
Yes, yes.
Okay, well, yeah.
Female teachers.
My point.
Female mm-hmm. teachers. So school bias, that happens in the school level system. We have it in the law as well, the law bias. Who usually get custody of the boys?
The mothers.
And the mothers, right? Mm-hmm. So we need to advocate for equality, inclusion, and the fairness for boys. Let's go on to the positive. This is number 6. I know it's plenty, yeah? But this is number 6. We have time. Promoting positive minds and healthy boys. So what does a healthy boy look like? What do you say a healthy boy mentally does look like?
What does a healthy boy look like? You can't tell, really.
Mental health. Yeah.
Well, he's happy. He's playful. He wants to play.
Happy.
You know?
Happy. Mm-hmm. You see, content. Mm. I prefer to use the word content because happy is a temporary emotion. That's like sadness. But content with life and also being able to express the emotions is what we're looking for in boys as well as girls too. Mm-hmm. Right? And as they grow up into adulthood, that's what we expect. So offer the boys freedom and safety as well. So boys deserve safety at 3 places. The home, which is the fundamental institution of social development. Now, they may not even get that at home because at the homes, as I say, as always say, it doesn't have a parenting book for you to be an actual parent or a mother or a father in the household. Mm-hmm. So some of them be the biological parents, but they are not the parents. They are not the mother or the father to the child, mm-hmm. right? So safety at the home, safety at the school, because we know that they go to school and they interact with those persons, right? And safety online. There's a new one as well because they interact with people online. That is that's a new. Back in my days, you know, I had a Nokia something, the big phone, you can pelt somebody and bust their head with it. But this now, all of them kids, they have smartphones.
Smartphone and tablet, yeah.
And they're always online because internet access is there, so they need to be able to protect themselves online.
But is that part of the problem, the too much are online and too much are phone?
Yeah, so they need to find social balance. Balance is what you think.
Because some kids don't know how to play outside. Mm-hmm. They don't.
Mm-hmm. So they need to find balance where they need to go outside as well as be using the technology. They still need to be able to use the technology because that's life, right? We can't fight that.
Get away from it.
We can't get away from that. But they need to find balance between the two and also need to find how to do that. I think the parents should be able to manage them on the devices. So it have software that can manage the time of how long they're using the devices and stuff like that as well. So the next one is number 8. We want to champion equality and equity. So it's 2 different things, right? So equality is giving everybody. So let me give you an example. Given every single person, given 3 a week inside there, $500 each. Mm-hmm. Equity is given the one who need it the most.
Mm-hmm. So you're given.
I say give me the $500, girl. I need that the most, right? But it's the ones who need it the most. It's like given social development, social welfare grants and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So men have certain needs, boys have certain needs, girls have certain needs as well in society, right? So boys need extra support.
Mm. As you mentioned, I'm in health. What about diet? What part does diet play in our boys? Because of what they're eating, you know.
So exactly. So diet, and we know with sugar, caffeine, and all these kind of things, and the marketing that we have right now, it links to your mental health as well. So how it is that they eat, and sometimes parents need to be the ones to manage how it is the child themselves eats, because they overeat. Sometimes they're eating snacks, they're drinking all the whole
like when the boy is growing. Is that a growing boy? Eating all the old fridge and he just feeding them.
But some people don't realize the linkage between the food that they eat as well as the mental health aspect of things and the behavior that is associated with it. We were talking about the probiotics thing with Dr. Mike.
The gut-brain axis. Yeah. So like there's evidence to actually show antibiotics is something that we need when somebody has an infection. But it takes out both your good and your bad bacteria. Mm-hmm. And bacteria is needed in your gut to be able to, you know, for you to have proper digestion. Now, there's evidence to show after a course of antibiotics, depression actually increases because you no longer have the proper bacteria within your gut. And your gut is actually the place where serotonin is made. And serotonin is necessary for you to feel happy, for you to not feel depressed. And we see now that, you know, there's evidence to show that having that course of antibiotics has a link to depression.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So we need to make sure that our, starting from a young age, because when I was young, I used to eat real sugar and thing. And now, as I get older, I was actually pre-diabetic at that point in time. And wow. Even though I go into gym and all these kind of things still, but it was because of my bad eating habits. Like any night, I would have eaten like hot dogs and then drink a Sprite right after, or drink a Coke right after. So that is all of the things that the way how I used to eat as a child reflected as to how I am and as an adult. So we need to change that as well. And the other thing too I want to talk about is that men, they only go to the hospital when they're about to dead. Mm-hmm. Right? Only when they're about to
dead. You see that day, the lunchtime doctor.
Yeah.
They'll call and say, doctor, I've urinated and I've been bleeding for 3 months.
3 months.
3 months.
Yeah, so all of those things, we have to, at a young age, we need to teach our boys that health is also important.
Mm-hmm.
And that also showing vulnerability in health. And if you have an issue with your health, you can complain about it, you can say about it as well. And going to the doctor is also not, and is not a demasculating thing that
why is it that about men? I mean, women would go to the doctor and thing.
As a man, I'm stoic. I don't need none of that. Yeah. I don't need I go fight through.
Mm.
No much people tell me that, hey, you fight through that, your diabetes, you're not pre-diabetic, boy. That's not real, all of them things.
Mm.
So all of those things, we tend to society itself, and it's about patriarchy, right? The patriarchy is where men are the ones in the positions of leadership and the positions of power. Now, the patriarchy, can be good for some men, but for most men, it puts them down. It puts them down in society because men step on other men to climb the ladder. Mm-hmm. So they're putting on other men and saying, no, if you is a man, you can't be so, you can't be this way or the other. And then it have men who in positions of power putting on these other men. So we need to find a way that the patriarchy in itself is a very toxic thing with toxic masculinity as well. Mm-hmm. And it also impacts our women and how our women treat our boys too. Because some parents, let me say a single parent mother has her child and the boy is crying. She might be like, hey, be a man, what you crying so for? Yeah, sissy, and other words too. They might throw at him. As I said, have no parents.
Yeah, we're getting a call, but I thought people didn't like you, didn't care. No, you don't just take a call now. Hello, good afternoon. Oh, sorry, lost that one. Feel free to call us, folks. 625-2257, 627-3223. Today is the International Day of the Boy Child. So let's talk about our boys, man. And we'll help our boys. Hello, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Bass. Good afternoon to your guests and listeners. Bass, most of the time, woman will just say, well, I don't like how I'm feeling, you know. They will go by the doctor. You know, men, most of the time, they does not do that. And when COVID came around and plenty of them business places, they had to do compulsory COVID test. You know, many of them realized things was going wrong in their life. When they go to do the test, they did other tests and realize how much of them was being a diabetic. They had different symptoms. I don't want to call the name, but based men on the whole, they does not like to visit the doctor until something serious happened to them. Thank you.
Yeah, man, that's bad.
Mm-hmm. And the thing is, when you take long to visit the doctor, I've actually had somebody come to me and tell me they don't want to go by a doctor because they had a friend that went by the doctor
and died.
Mm-hmm. And when you dig deep into the story, why did the person end up going by the doctor? Because apparently they never used to go by the doctor in the first place.
They went too late. Too late. Yeah.
Some complication happened that prompted them to have to go to the doctor.
Mm-hmm.
And at that point, it's too late.
Yeah.
So I think
it's
that
the doctor's fault is your fault, right?
Mm. I feel like men tend to think asking for help is, like you said, demasculating.
Yeah, well, let's take another call. Hello, good afternoon.
Hello, good afternoon.
Mm.
Just came back from my eye doctor. Here's the thing. Mm-hmm. When I went there, she told me, well, the first visit, that was a couple weeks ago, you have to do your prostate exam now. I said, well, great. I hear the Minister of Health says no longer that intrusive, so let me do it. Here she, that's not true. It is still intrusive, and she heard the minister say so, and she was just shaking her head. Is that true, or is my doctor setting me up?
So, there are non-intrusive ways, for example, the PSA
test.
Mm-hmm. But to have a more confirmatory sort of test,
you have to do the emasculating one.
You see, and that's the thing. We don't want to start labeling things as...
No, that's what men think.
Men tend to think like
when
that.
When I go to schools, I just tell young fellas, and then when they reach a certain age, I think it's 35 and up to... It's 35 or 30?
It depends on... No. So, it depends on if you have a family history or not.
Right.
Mm-hmm. It's usually after 45 to 50 years of age.
I just still tell them, well, they go and take all their prostate tests and I zoom a finger like this, right?
Yeah.
And all of them start to laugh. Like, that's is a serious thing.
Mm-hmm.
Prostate and cancer is rampant in Trinidad and Tobago. Mm-hmm. Colon cancer, prostate cancer, and all these kind of things too.
Yeah.
So we need to highlight, to tell our boys that going and doing these tests are also a normal thing.
Yeah. Mm.
Supposed to be normalized.
But in 2025, I mean, still.
I mean, if you do the PSA, and the PSA says, well, it's high, then more than likely, we may just go into doing a biopsy.
Right.
But sometimes the DRE is necessary just to ensure or to see, because the basically with the DRE, you feel the prostate, and if it feels irregular, we know that, hey, something is wrong.
Mm.
And you could sometimes have a normal PSA and your prostate can be irregular. So those are the things that will be able to help us move further and diagnose a person. So sometimes one can't exist without the other. There are certain instances when you do a PSA and you pick it up one time, and there are certain instances you do need to do the DRE.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So all of that just to say that we need to teach our boys to talk about their health issues and also their mental health issues, because, like, let's say they're going through depression, they're going through anxiety, they would never talk to anybody about it, and they would never, because they don't trust anybody. So what I encourage our boys to do is to create a safe space. A safe space can be when they're playing video games with their own friends, just to talk about all the issues that they're facing if they're going through a breakup or something like that. I mean, I did it and it saved me, basically.
Mm-hmm.
So always have a safe space. Now, a safe space could just be three friends that you trust, two friends that you trust, but a circle. A circle of friends that you actually trust. The rum shop friends and them, some you may
trust.
What
about the barber shop? I've always said that the barber shop
right.
is a perfect place for
barber shop. For some reason, you know, we as men, we love to talk and everything in the barber shop. But to be honest, I just cut my own hair, so I really am good to barber shop.
Yeah,
and
me too.
But I know the barber shop dynamic, and because I have done some projects in barber shops, and men see that as such a safe space where they're just getting their haircut and thing, and they're just talking because
their barber,
they don't want the primary they're talking.
Mm-hmm.
They want the primary focus to be the haircut and looking good, and then they will talk on the side and everything about all the issues. They've had issues where the barber was telling me in that same session that I was doing, and the barber told me that a big, big, big tall man come and crying and talking to him that his wife is beating him.
Hmm.
But he can't do anything, because if he raise a hand and just do she something small, just defend himself, that is it. He will get labeled as such and labeled as an abuser. And that's the other thing too. All men are like false accusations as well too. She could just say he hit her. Mm-hmm. And the thing is, he never hit her. But they will believe it because he's a big, tall man and he's masculine.
Mm-hmm.
But in reality, he never did anything. So we need to also, and I want to link everything back to our boys, because our boys are vulnerable with these kind of things as well.
Mm-hmm.
Our boys see these things happening and they need to find ways to navigate it as they become adults.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. All right. What are some of the practical ways communities and families can start nurturing boys more holistically and to prevent the mental health crisis later in life?
So
they say it takes a village to raise a child.
Yeah,
how can the village actually get
so
involved?
I always talk about creating safe spaces. I talk about it just now as well, but we need to create community physical safe spaces as well, where we involve kids in not only sport, but things like video gaming and whatever it is that they want to do in the communities. So they could do, they have football. Sport is the main thing that they engage in, and that they trickle down into other things. But video gaming, also reading, also dancing, break dancing, doing martial arts, all these kind of things are gateways for young people to engage in different things that they want to do. So we, but I don't want to sit here and say that how young people want to be into gaming or young people want to be in sport. I want to hear from the young people what they want to be. So different communities have different needs. So the community in BTOM, they will have different needs. The kids will have different, the youth will have different needs as to what it is that they want to do. And they will have their different ideas compared to the persons in South Trinidad. Mm-hmm. So we need to figure out and firstly do needs assessment. So we need to go into the community as ourselves, as mentors and community leaders. We community leaders, quote unquote, right? I say we're the good guys, you know, we're the good guys out here. But we go into the communities and we get the feedback, we do the needs assessment, the research, and then see what the gaps are and fill those gaps and get our necessary funding. Actually, if we don't even get funding, we are the persons, well, we are the persons to actually engage with the young men and see what projects they want and fulfill it.
Yeah, now, it's a good thing for parents as well to see what your, not only your boys, but your children and you all are interested in from young. Mm-hmm. A lot of parents want to live their lives through their children and force their children down a rabbit hole in a direction and something that they don't want to be. And I think that a lot of that frustrates a lot of boys into suicide too.
Yeah.
Exactly. And I do think some of the responsibility lies on us as adults to, like you said, Richie, to be mentors to these young boys and, of course, young children in general. But you are probably one of the first and only persons that I have heard advocating for young boys. So I think there's also a gap when it comes to us as adults and the seriousness of the issues as it pertains to boys. Because, I mean, I'm in this space. I advocate a lot for women. I advocate a lot for girls. So I've seen a lot of other advocates doing the same. But it is very rare for me to find somebody who advocates for young boys or advocates for men.
Yeah, what about these getting your children in these groups that we used to have that we should make them popular again, like Cub Scouts and...
Yeah. So they exist still. Those groups still exist, but there is a stigma that the youth have of it now because it's so rigid. Some of them so rigid and they're so like cadets and stuff like that. They don't want that. They want more freedom. They want to do different things. Mm-hmm. So that's what we need to assess. We need to do assessments, needs assessments to find out what it is that they really want to do.
They want a TikTok page.
Yeah, and there's something like that. Or social media, something. Things change for the past 10 to 15, 20 years. Things have changed.
Yeah.
And also I want to highlight the importance of what we're discussing today to World Day of the Boy Child, 16th of May, right? So the callers, and you mentioned it earlier, I was hearing you, when it was like, you mentioned, you just say it under your breath, it was like, I thought the topic wasn't that interesting. And I was thinking, yeah, it's true. It's true, the topic of the issues that are faced by boys is not an interesting to
nobody,
many people.
Calling, we usually have
why?
Tons of calls.
But
okay.
Why? But
okay.
The men killing the men, the boys killing the boys, the deaths are mostly boys, the deaths are mostly men.
And plenty of them are boy children too.
Yes, and they are, and plenty of them are boy children. So why it is that we see them as not important to be...
If this discussion was about women and girls and the vulnerability of women and girls...
You
can't stop take away.
We
could have both from now
to
the
And nothing is wrong with that.
Something is wrong with that. Don't care about boys. They don't care about men. They don't care.
But I want to hear from the people who are listening right now what you all think of having the World Day of the Boy Child or International Day of the Boy Child.
So
we can't label all our men like that. All our men in society aren't like that. We are achievers as well too. And we don't want to put down... Yeah, we don't want to put down our men and boys. We need to have and put them on the platform for all of the things that they achieved. And as I say, men and boys, we competitive. We want to do better than the other guy.
I think people waiting on the government to do something.
Well,
they're always waiting on the government.
The government try something. They were.
They try.
Yeah, the government try something, but they need to try more. They really do need to try more, and they have been coming short in terms of addressing some of the issues. But they need people like us. They need people like us to go there and help them.
What about these boys' homes that they have? things are straight now, the boys. I don't know if you're ever familiar with my Latin, my pattern.
That's our next thing, but that is along one path. That is to become Coast Guard Army and them kind of things. Not everybody wants to be along that path. But the thing is, those systems so rigid that them fellas that don't want to be in there, they become rebellious. They become even more rebellious when they're going to those places.
It's a way to teach your discipline.
But that's what we see it, right? But when it is that they get more those kind of quote-unquote discipline methods, you wake up early in the morning, you do this, that, you iron your shirt, put on your clothes a certain way, them don't want that. They want a different type of thing. And it's not to say...
But why just other people what them want?
Yeah, but because we had to find out what the youth want.
No, but I find you're compromising too much, man.
Nah, we can't be too strict on it because it's not working.
I think the problem is we're not strict on them enough. Like, for example, some people will say when you took out the corporal punishment in the schools and we didn't put anything else in place, when things just went downhill.
So let me talk about that now. We live in a culture of violence in Trinidad and Tobago, right? We teach people...
Relics in school, I come on, good.
Say again. I always say that. But relics violence begets more violence. And it links straight to the days of slavery. So back... I'm a sociologist, right? So linking back straight to slavery. They used to use what to control the slaves?
The whip,
right? Physical abuse, right? Now, going straight down now to our Caribbean families, they still punish and they try to straighten up the children, straighten up each other by doing what? Giving them licks.
Yeah, but now we're doing nothing. What are we doing? Timmy, take a time out.
Correct.
Not doing anything?
We need to do more still. We take out the corporal punishment thing, but we need to find another way to guide the youth. We can't just take it out and leave it hanging.
We
need to find more ways to invest into how it is, because the cultural thing in the globe right now is not to beat the children. It's not to give them licks.
And the children know that. Because
children have rights, right? Children have rights.
Like, imagine if some parents with their children in their house, they're locking up in their room and have privacy. How could you have privacy in my house? You paying rent here?
Yeah. So that is the thing, right? We have to find a subtle balance between it, because you're right to an extent, right? We need to find balance. We can't have the children saying, you know, they have rights. Because
ruling, no?
When I was in a lot of those quote unquote community residences or children's homes, I did sessions with the caregivers, and the caregivers were like, if we tell these children that they have rights, they're just going to bully us as caregivers even more. But then I was like, that is understandable, but there is where you find the balance. It's how you tell the kids that they have rights as well.
Wow.
It's how.
Well, I mean, of course, I think there's a big difference between disciplining a child and abuse. And you have the right to not be abused. You have the right to, of course, an education, all of these different things that we've learned about World Children's Day. But you have to find that balance. It's not about, you know, abusing them, but it's about striking that balance in disciplining them as well. So, I mean, corporal punishment was still a thing in my day as well. You know, it's, and I think we still do it in some of the primary schools.
Primary schools, yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
But, I mean, you have to not... of course, harm the child in doing that.
All right. But I'm going to give you a scenario. Like some kids were by me, but family was by me on Sunday, right? And I was a 6-year-old boy. He's 6 years old, right? So he thinks you have your face. He said, you think the girls will like me? Like six. That's 6 years old, you know. Why are you studying girls already?
Yeah, because at 6 years in psychology, where I also did and studied, that's where you start to get a sense of identity, your own personal identity, self-identity. You get ego, and then you start to want certain things. But at age six is where you start to realize
You gotta be careful with them, because you can make your grandmother at 15, you gotta be careful.
No, so those are the dynamics that where the parent or the mentor comes into place now and tries to guide this young man into a particular direction. So that's it. That's it. We need the persons to guide them. And as I say, there isn't a parenting guidebook, but we need mentors.
You think it's harder being a parent now as opposed to back in the days?
I think it was hard in both times, because the issues that they would have gone through, the parents would have gone through different issues then, and they're going through different issues now. So modern issues, and also it has historical issues as well. So I wouldn't say that now is harder or then is harder.
Okay. Yeah, folks, well, you know, Nobody's calling. Nobody cares about the boys.
It's a real thing. I want to talk also about the International Day for the Elimination of Violence Against Men and Boys. See, that one is focused on all of the negatives that are happening to our men and boys, such as suicide as well as depression and the fact that men killing men too. So now we need to have more safety nets for our men. So we have safety nets for our men.
Somebody gracing us with a call.
Hey.
Hello, good afternoon.
Hello, good afternoon.
Yes, sir.
Talk about corporal punishment. Here's the thing. Corporal punishment could suffer behavior in the short term. But for the long term, it doesn't give the children or the parents tools on how to address whatever they're trying to address. So a lot of times, parents get deluded because children could stop the behavior around you or hide it more from you, but they haven't learned how to address whatever the issue is, and the parents haven't learned that either. So for the long term, nobody really benefits from that for the long term. Please, I ensure you turn out the better for it, by the way.
Bye. Roxo. Hello, good afternoon. Sometimes I used to get licks even before I do anything in school. So they say, boy, actually, I know you're going to do something, so take some licks. Right? We have about three and a half more minutes. You know what I mean? I saw another call coming in there. Hello, good afternoon.
Pleasant afternoon, Bayes, and to your panel.
Yeah, protest man.
Hey, Bayes. Well, without International Day of the Boy, men's name wouldn't be carried on. Because the boy child is who carries on the name of the family. So that is to begin with. And you see what happened, this, they don't have a strength levy to school a child. They just stick it out in rage, vexation, you name it. They really don't discipline the child in the way. You know, you will hit a child, but not to really hit them hard to damage them or do hurt or, you know. It's to school a child to let them know that you did something wrong. You speak to them one or two times, you give them a little tap on the buttocks or the, you know, the hands or something, and they will learn. You school a child by talking to them, disciplining them.
You could give licks to a little child, right? But you can't give licks to when they become an adult or a teenager or a young adult.
You had to nip it in the bud.
Yeah, but when they reach you learn, you give them licks forever.
All right, look at this thing now, right? Children have a lot of choices now. You would see children in the grocery and parents asking them, so where you want?
I see.
Or then if they say they want something, now you can't get that. And they do not have my tantrum on the ground. Come on, man.
Yeah.
Somebody from Sangeetia is saying, parents need to spend more time with their children and pay attention to them and what they are doing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Most importantly, is parents.
Yeah, so it's a collaborative effort. It is a family. It's not just the parents alone doing this. They need to understand what the children want. And I keep talking about this thing doing needs assessment. It goes back straight to the family. It's just understanding, you know. It's understanding and trying to fill the gap and trying to address what the issue is. That's all it is. Communication, as I say, is the fundamental human. Because that's what creates all of this. This entire room that we in. We sit on with technology. All of this is communication. It's not one person alone that sit down and do this. It's generations of communication that led to this and research.
Yes.
Yeah, of course. Well, it's 1 o'clock. Thank you very, very much, Rishi, for passing through.
Yeah, man.
Hope to see you again, and of course.
Yes, we will have him back.
Yes, yeah. Pleasure to be here, yeah.
Dr. Brickley.
Thank you very, very much, guys. Yeah.
All right, folks, you've been listening to The Lunchtime Doctor.
The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5.